working as a bad guy, you always got to expect a bit of heat from the crowd. You know what I mean? You know, I mean, you
give it, have a tough skin.
Exactly. But you give it to the crowd and they give it back and it's all in good fun. When people start commenting on, you know,
personal things, they really take it personal and,
exactly, and
calling you out on your weight.
Well, that's it. And that's exactly what it was. And it's like, man, you know, like, I didn't expect that to hurt, but that hurt.
Stop till we're legend. I have Chris Law in front of me here.
How you doing?
Good, thanks. How you doing? Man.
We good?
Good. Had a bit of a workout just before we
started. Right. Yes, we did. We did have
a the endorphins running. We are set to go. Thanks for joining us today for this wonderful podcast. We are interviewing Chris Law, Bebe, the wrestler.
That's right.
One of my clients from Hustle Harder Coaching. We're going to investigate his comeback to the wrestling arena after a bit of time off. And we'll see where this takes us.
Excellent. Excellent.
So, who is Chris Law? Tell me.
Okay, so, you know, my story in professional wrestling starts in 20... you can't call 2005. Well, you can't start that with a 20, so it's 2005.
Yep.
I mean, you don't say 2005, you know? Like, I mean, you know, nowadays 2019.
We're getting close to 2020.
That's right. Can you imagine? Yeah. Goodness me. Gosh, I'm so old. no, look, 2005, I started wrestling, professional wrestling. I fell in love with it, I think, when I was 8 years old, and it was on after Saturday morning Disney on Channel 9.
And that's when you know it's a passion. It's in your blood.
Exactly. Yeah, absolutely. And it's like, you know, I mean, who doesn't want to do play fighting? I mean, we've all done it. I just never grew out of it. You know? So it's one of those things. But look, I started as a different character. My original name in professional wrestling was Jarrett Craven. And it was funny because, you know, it was sort of a sign of the times of who I was. Like, I was doing the goth gimmick and, you know, had the long black hair and, you know, like, it's embarrassing.
Because you were playing the bad guy. I mean, you've always played the bad guy.
You know, I mean, it's one of those things where I always saw myself as a bad guy in wrestling, and they went, no, people like you. You got to be a good guy. So I had to go out there with long black hair and a fishnet top and long, you know, long black pants covered in chains.
Looking back on that, what do you think? Like, what do you think of yourself looking back on that?
Well, I wouldn't have cheered for that guy, to be honest with you. Yeah. I wouldn't have cheered for him. But I've been wrestling for about 14 years now, if my maths is correct.
Puts it in perspective, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's right. And like I said, if my maths is correct, and it very rarely is, but I think I got that right. But, I went away from it for a while, and I tried a few different names and characters, because it's all about character. Like, you know, I mean, you know, you got to look good in the ring, but it is a performance.
Yep.
I wanted to create a character, and I could never settle on anything. I was people used to joke, oh, you called this week, you called this week. And then I thought, well, my real name is Chris Taylor.
Yep.
And I thought, what's going to be the easiest thing for me to remember and what doesn't sound horrible rolling off the tongue? And I thought, well, Chris Law. And that was sort of like, I decided to become Chris Law when I returned, because one of the things that we're going to touch on today is when I guess you could say I gave it up and how I got back to being able to do it. So that's pretty much
why the law in just a nutshell?
Oh, look, you know, it's I mean,
is that when you put the foot down? You show a bit of dominance in the arena.
I think there is a bit of law. I think there is a bit of that. I mean, there was this fantastic anime that I watched once called Ergo Proxy, and the main character in it was called Vincent Law, and I thought, that's such a cool name. You know, and if you say, I don't know, I was probably watching too much.
Fear in the hearts of
maybe. I think I just watched that original Judge Dredd movie, and I am the law and that sort of thing, and you know, you sort of like, I don't know, like, law itself is a cool name, and plus my name being Taylor, it's just like you sort of cut the Tay off the start of it and then you just turn the rest into law. So yeah, Chris Law, easy to remember. Get rid of the CH, change it to a K, so it's KRIS, because I think what's more obnoxious than that, you know,
misspelling your own name.
You know,
exactly. Yeah, well, that's awesome, man. Well, at least we now know who you are, and that's, I don't think anyone will ever forget it.
No that's right, I'm hoping.
So why did you, or what is the reason for your comeback?
Okay, so, you know, and this is what it was one of those things where I don't want to say I ever grew away or lost my passion for professional wrestling, but I did in a way, look, it got to the point where I changed jobs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I worked in a timber yard, and I was a yard foreman. You know, I was always doing a lot of physical work, and eventually, through the course of progression, I ended up in an office job inside the company. But when you're sitting at a desk as opposed to doing physical work now, and like I said, Sean, you know me. While I was working in the timber yard, and I've told you this before, I'd never step foot in a gym. I didn't need to.
Because you were physically labelling.
Absolutely. I grew up on 12 acres of land in Tiurong, and there was always, you know, I was always running. Everywhere I went, I'd just run, and I'd run, and I'd run. I loved it.
And you told me before, like, living so close to the timber yard, you just ride your bike.
Absolutely.
So you were always having a level of fitness.
Yeah, absolutely. And
without even trying to focus on...
Well,
for having a level of fitness without focusing on I need to do cardio, you just did it because I need to get from point A to point B.
And that's the thing too. I never once thought in the whole time I was wrestling, I never once thought about how I looked, because I always thought, you know, like I mean, I didn't even think about it, but I always just looked okay, you know, like I mean, I was never the most muscular guy, but I definitely wasn't heavy set or overweight or anything like that. But I just think because of my upbringing on the 12 acres, you know, working in a timber yard, that sort of thing, you always maintain like a natural fitness because you're always doing physical things. Now, like I said, the moving behind a computer screen and a desk and doing that for 18 months, that changed that. And that was about the time where... I'm still trying to wrestle, but for some, and I it was so silly. I didn't put one and one together, but I would get gassed out in the ring. You know, like my cardio was down. You know, I was still trying to portray the character I'd always portrayed, but.
I'm guessing you were probably eating the same amount of food.
Yeah, yeah.
Same food.
100%.
And you probably noticed that maybe you might be packing on like extra kilos or something.
Well, that was the thing. You're half right. I was eating exactly the same, but I didn't actually notice the difference in like packing on the weight until I started... Well, I was watching my matches back. Now, it got to the point around there where I just wouldn't watch my matches back because, to be honest, I knew I was okay in the ring, but I could not watch the matches because I started getting a bit disgusted with the way I looked. And I wasn't happy with that. And, like, you know, I mean, I could still, like, do an awesome standing dropkick to someone's face and, like, backflip off it and stuff like that. But... the things I started noticing was my muscle definition was gone. Yeah. You know, my gut was starting to hang out from under my t-shirt.
Right.
It's like those are the things little you notice things. And you go, man, that doesn't look right, you know. And I, for whatever reason, that sort of got me to the point where I was having trouble with my fitness. I was stuck in this job, which, to be honest, it was wreaking havoc on me mentally as well. I've always preferred to do things physically. But I had a match against a guy from America named Braley Pierce, who's the brother of WWE superstar Dolph Ziggler, which was huge for me. But
you've got your foot in the door.
But I watched that match back on tape, and as much as the match was great, it was really well put together. I couldn't stand to look at myself because. You know,
this must have been a big turning point or a big infliction point for yourself.
This is what made me walk away from it.
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah.
It's usually in this time where people have a big infliction point and a big revelation where they go, look, I need to either sink or swim, right?
Yep,
and
absolutely.
So people go, I need to do something different in order to improve myself, or they sometimes throw in the towel.
Absolutely.
And I guess this part took the worst of you and you kind of thought,
oh look, absolutely, look, it was a combination of a lot of things, like, you know, the change in work, my mental state, my physical state. I enjoyed the match, but it, you know, and I stopped taking bookings and I stepped away from it, And the place where I first started wrestling in 2005, PCW, I thought, I can't stay away from this for long. I mean, wrestling's like that, you know. Mm. I mean, you know, people always say, like, I would tell people, like, I'm retired, you know, I'm not wrestling anymore. And they'd go, are you kidding? You never retire. You never retire.
Yeah.
And I had a match at PCW, and I just watched it back, and I was terrible. I was ashamed of myself. I looked awful. The young man who I was wrestling, he was really, really good and really, really keen. And frankly, I felt like I let him down because I looked terrible. Mm-hmm. And it was. You get this paranoia because towards the end, when I decided to walk away from this. Working as a bad guy, you always got to expect a bit of heat from the crowd. You know what I mean? Exactly. I mean, you
have a tough skin.
Exactly. But you give it to the crowd and they give it back and it's all in good fun. When people start commenting on,
personal things, they really take it personal and calling you out on your weight.
Well, that's it. And that's exactly what it was. And it's like, man, I didn't expect that to hurt, but that hurt. You know what I mean? And
that's a bit deeper because and I believe in this as well. If you allow mentally a hole in your own psychological...
Yeah.
What's the word? Outlook on yourself.
Yep.
If you believe, look, I'm looking overweight and I'm not happy with it and that's a personal problem with you're dealing with yourself.
Yeah, yeah.
The moment someone else calls that out,
yep.
They're digging deeper into that hole. But if you feel like, look, I don't care about my own weight.
Absolutely.
I don't care. I'm feeling great. If someone says that to you... You just shrug it off.
Oh, right? Absolutely. That's very true. We always take on board the negatives. Exactly. You know what I mean? As I said, I did this match at PCW. I was really, really unhappy with myself in it. And, a few things changed and I decided I wasn't going to do this anymore. Mm-hmm. And I walked away. And about this time, it's actually kind of... It's funny how everything just works out like this. I'd sort of like given myself over to the idea that I wasn't going to wrestle anymore and, I couldn't get in shape and that sort of thing because I know it's ridiculous and I know a lot of people listening to this will think this is ridiculous, but I do consider myself to be an older person, which is, like I said...
Oh, tell the audience how old you are.
Well, I'm 35.
Yeah.
And so I know that's absurd to think that you're old, but maybe it's because I've done
probably
so.
Probably old to get a few hits taken on the mat up again.
Exactly. There's probably a bit of that, but... it is one of the things where, I walk into a wrestling locker room now and I see guys, I see guys who are super fit in their, early to mid-20s and stuff like that. And it's like, gosh, I'm the old man in the locer room. But as I said...
You're the veteran.
I'm the veteran, exactly.
That's it, man.
But I'd walked away from it. And at the time, in a wrestling promotion based out of Cranbourne, APW... a guy I'd known for years, he just won their heavyweight title. And it was his first major title. And so it was a big deal for him. And he was so proud, and I was really proud of him. And just randomly, I get this message through Instagram, and it's a photo of him with the title, and he said, "Hey, mate, anytime you want a shot, let me know." Mm. He's like, and we'll set the world on fire like we used to.
That's what triggered it.
Well, actually, it's amazing because not so much at first.
Really?
I sort of like scoffed and laughed it off and said, "I'm retired." Thank you, and I'm proud of you, but I'm retired. And he just kept chipping away at me and chipping away at me and chipping away.
Because he could see that you're
absolutely
eager to get back in the ring.
Oh, look, absolutely.
Deep down,
it's one of those things where whenever, like, I've seen guys who disappear for years and years and years, and then they can't stay away. They come back. You know what I mean? And that's great. And I think it was I actually went to one of their shows that he was main eventing. Just with our friend Connor, actually.
Yes.
It was me and Connor, and we went just to check out the show. Now I walked in there and I watched the show and I thought it was a lot of fun, and everyone was running up to me and saying, "Oh, Chris, when are you coming back? When are you coming back?" And the whole time I had it in my head, like, I'm retired. I can't do this. By the end of the night, I was like, maybe I need to give this another go.
Am I retired?
Am I retired? Maybe I need to give this another go. And to be honest, it was one of those things where I did turn to Connor and I did say, you know what? I reckon I could still do this. And what turned out is, these guys all believe in me. I reckon I can still do this. That pretty instantly turned into a bit of self-assessment mm-hmm. and saying, mm-hmm. maybe I can do this, but I can't do it right now. I believe
a lot more people need to do that, man. They need to really self-assess and reflect on where they're at and really see they've got a lot more to be thankful for and appreciative of.
But like I said, this all these people saying, no, you can still do it. Get in the ring. You can do this. And, you know, having a great night out with our friend Connor and the self-assessment, it actually led me to you because we knew each other from work. And
Which segues us to what was required to make this comeback happen. And you coming to see myself and that takes a lot of balls for a lot of people to really seek help from another person.
Well, on that, the first time I joined a gym when I was in the desk job, and look, I will say, like, you know, I wasn't as committed as I am now, but the first time I joined a gym, I cried on the phone to them asking them how to get a membership because this is ridiculous as well. I thought the fact that I had to join a gym, I'd hit rock bottom. And that is so ridiculous.
I bet a lot of people can sympathize with that.
Oh, absolutely. And I'm sure that a lot of people do think that, but it was one of those things where, you know, like, I mean, you know, my PT at the time, you know, he's a wonderful person, but because I was so down mentally, I just felt like I was letting him down over and over again. And to the point where I was just like, you know, I can't keep coming here. I'll stay retired. And the difference was I knew you and you believed in me. And it was one of those, things where for the first time I looked at wrestling and thought, right, if I'm going to make a comeback to this, I'm never again going to watch one of my matches back and cringe at how I looked. I just was not prepared to do that.
It
was a non-negotiable because in my opinion, and the way that wrestling evolves and how people look and all that, I was like, there's no point in me doing this if I can't at least be proud of it.
Plus, everyone loves a comeback story.
Everyone loves an
underdog.
And that's true. And to be honest, I really looked at this as from a personal perspective, starting at the absolute bottom and having to, you know, get my body back and work my way back up and, you know, like, look, I will say this, the people at Adrenaline Pro Wrestling, they really, really believed in me. One thing I have to say about them, everyone there treats me like I'm a legend. Everyone there treats me like I'm a veteran.
That goes they a can long learn way, from man.
Me. And it does. And because they believe in me, it makes me want to continue getting better. And it became one of those things where, you know, meeting the people down there and having them all, oh my gosh, you know, I mean, I remember 10 years ago watching you when I was like 8 years old and all these stories about, you know, you were my favorite wrestler 10 years ago and all this and that. It made me go, well, you know what? I had to seek your help out because I didn't want to get in there, look awful, blow up, and have people think, oh, he's only here because, you know, he's like been around forever and he just needs a spot.
Yeah.
I wanted to keep up with him. And like I said, that's what brought me to you.
Awesome, man. So in order for us to make the comeback happen and make it really stand out and make you really a shining object in the public eye, we had to lose a little bit of weight.
We did. Absolutely. That was first and foremost. Yeah. Absolutely.
And so then that losing that weight was also motivation for you to look at yourself with a better body image.
Absolutely.
A little better self-esteem.
Well, yeah, absolutely. And I think that's one of the things, like, you know, I mean, it's not going to the gym and working out. It's not instantaneous. And I had been discouraged in the past when, you know, you'd go to the gym and you'd sort of, you'd put in a session, you'd be hurting and you'd be sweating and you'd look at yourself in the mirror and go, I don't look any different.
Yeah.
And I can't help but feel, as absurd as that
don't worry,
is,
man, a lot of people do a few sets of abs and they check themselves in the mirror and they're like, where are the abs?
Yeah, where are the abs? I've done that. But I think that's one thing that really discourages people.
Yeah.
I think it does, like,
And everyone wants instant gratification.
Absolutely. Well, we're in a society, and look, you know, you can disagree with this if you want, but I personally feel that with the advent of social media, like, you know, your Facebook, Instagram, you know, I mean, in a lot of ways, they're one of the greatest things ever happened. In another way, they're one of the worst things ever to happen. Those platforms provide people with instant gratification. Mm-hmm. So I think a lot of people who go to the gym and don't see results straight away, they can get a little bit discouraged. And my advice to anyone like that is just stick with it. You know what I mean? Exactly. I mean, stick with it, enjoy the experience. And like you said, I mean, one of the big things was losing weight. You gotta
fall in love with the journey.
You have to. Yeah. And I think that
not just in it for the outcome, but in it for the love of the journey.
Absolutely, absolutely. And like you said, like the journey to the comeback. You know, I knew I had to lose weight. My fitness had to go up. Like, and I will say this, and everyone can hear this, but you do grill me for the amount of cardio I do now, every now and then.
So, firstly, we did change his weight. We lost a little bit of weight, man.
Yeah.
I mean, I was very surprised. In the first week, you lost about 2 belt sizes.
That's right. Yeah, yeah.
His stomach, and that was just simply from taking a lot of carbohydrates out, but timing them in the right time of the day.
That's right.
We increased the fat amount and just increase the frequency of food. So
that's right.
Chris wasn't having very frequent meals throughout the day.
I wasn't even having breakfast at the time.
Exactly. Yeah. So breakfast, wasn't having high protein. I think you made a few visits to the vending machine every time.
Yeah, that's
because,
true. Yeah.
Just because it's convenient.
It is convenient.
And that's the worst downfall for a lot of people.
That's very true.
Just because it's convenient, that's where the problem lies.
Mm.
So you lost 2 belt sizes in the first
week. That's right. Yeah.
That was motivation enough. You came to me every single day saying,
Do you remember that?
I do, man. Yeah. It sticks with me because you're the most appreciative person I know. And he would come to me every day and say, look, man, I've lost 2 belt sizes. This is unbelievable. Mm. I'm motivated to do more. And he just stuck to his diet. He lost more and more. Mm-hmm. And then, obviously, diet's one thing, but you have to improve your cardiorespiratory system.
That's true, yes.
And so you started running more with your dog, Rubik's.
With Rubik's, yeah, absolutely. We would run a lot, and it was one of those things where, again, and you can call this the ignorance of someone who grew up on a farm and went and got old. I would run and run and run and not take into consideration shoes. Mm-hmm.
Where it takes me to. After a few months of running, he would do about, you know, he built himself up to about 5 k's a day or so.
Absolutely.
And you would tell me that, like, hey man, look, I'm up to 5 k's this morning. I did 5 k's this morning in winter. Yeah. And after I ran that, I wasn't even puffed.
I wasn't puffed, exactly.
No, and that's when you see that your cardiorespiratory is actually improving.
Yep.
And then after a few months, you would say to me, oh, look, man, I'm running, but I'm finding my ankles and my Achilles and your knees are starting to really hurt.
It was absolutely the Achilles as well, because I remember that one day, I actually, this is so bad, I called in sick to work and they said, what's the reason? And I said, well, I can't walk at the moment. And it was because I'd just been running so much. So, yeah.
Exactly, man. You've been doing like 30 Ks a week.
It was crazy. Yeah.
And I was like, okay, so I like to look at it. As a coach, I like to look at the whole picture, not
That's
just
right.
going, okay, so his knees are sore. The problem's at his knees.
Yep.
Or, you know, he's just carrying extra weight. You've got to stop running.
Exactly.
That's not always the case. Yeah. In Chris's case, I asked him, like, so what kind of shoes are you wearing, man?
Yeah, exactly.
And you're like, oh, I'm just wearing these casual Nikes or these casual shoes. And I'm like, dude, these are not good for you.
Do you remember the first pair I was wearing? It was like a 3-year-old pair of Target sneakers, which had zero support at all.
Exactly. I paid like 20 and you worn the insides out and you were rolling in.
You shook your head at me.
I just went silent and shook my head at you. Hey, look, but like these are little improvements. So he got better shoes and then after a while it was better, but then his ankles and his Achilles, Achilles was taking the bit of a toll on that.
They were taking a toll.
What we tried to do was, I could not get this guy away from doing cardio. He loved it so much.
I would run everywhere, every day if I could. I love
that
running.
That is perfect. Yeah. And so I said, look, if you love doing your cardio so much, I'm not going to take that away from you. I love the fact that you're doing cardio at the age of 34, were you?
I was 34 at the time.
Yeah, 34. Yeah. And I'm not going to take that away because that actually transfers quite nicely into his wrestling. You know, you don't want to get gassed out 2 rounds in or anything.
It's all movement. Yeah.
Exactly. So what we did, instead of running, because that impact, Chris is about, how much do you weigh, if you don't mind me asking?
No. Look, about that time, if you'll remember, I think when we started this journey, I was about 105, actually.
So anyone that's usually anywhere between around 5'10" or 5'8" and 100 kilos and...
5'11 and a half.
5'11, right? Sorry. Yeah. Yep. No, he's actually taller than me, myself. 5'11 and 100 kilos puts a lot of toll on the knees and the Achilles, right? So I said to him, let's do some low impact cardio.
That's right.
I mean, swimming probably not so much easy to get to, not convenient. So... Chris actually went out and bought an elliptical machine.
That's right, yeah.
Fell in love with the elliptical machine.
Love it.
Made it himself. Bought, yeah, that's put right. Put it all together himself.
Yeah. Put it all together myself.
And every day on his veranda, he's chipping away.
Every day. I love it. It's one of the best purchases I've ever made. You know, there's nothing like throwing on some music and getting on the incline trainer and just banging an hour out. It's fantastic. Exactly.
So that was one way we kind of... found a few problems. We just looked at it at the big picture. Shoes, what can we do? What can we change?
Yep.
I'm not going to say, no, you can't do this and cut that out completely.
Yep.
We're going to find another way. There's another way to get around it. There's more than one way to skin a cat, as this saying goes.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So fitness improved.
Absolutely.
Diet improved.
Diet improved, fitness improved. And one thing that I really needed, and it was one of those things that going into, because my first match back... was July and last year, and I felt that I was ready to have a match. And one of the things that I actually did discuss with you was strength, because I had strength originally, but I lost all my strength, and I would never do suplexes or anything like that because I thought I'm not strong enough to lift people. And with our ever more frequent trips to the gym, you actually, one thing that I really appreciated about your training was, you know, instead of me just going to a gym and lifting weights, and look, I'm ignorant about
following
all that
a program
stuff.
And
exactly,
just going, I need to do this many reps for this many sets.
Absolutely, you asked me, well, what are you using the strength for? What are you building yourself to do? And I told you, and you took me around the gym, showed me, you know, not just a bunch of equipment that's going to make me bigger, but stuff that was targeted to what I was doing. And I thought that was incredible. You know, it was the difference between being able to give someone a snap suplex, for example, and give someone a stalling suplex and hold them upside down for 10 seconds. You know what I mean? And that was all part of you understanding what I was trying to do and saying, okay, well, we need to try this one, or let's give this one a go. And I would always ask you, and I always pick your brains about this, like, you know, how many of these should I do? You know, like, you know, and what's a, you know, what's included in the set? Like, you know,
that's an underlying point of my coaching that I do is not just dictate a program for a client where they have to do set amount of reps and set amount of sets. I will actually explain why that client is doing that and why this transfers to improving their body, what they're going to use this for, and how it's going to benefit them.
100%.
And for Chris, how it's going to benefit his training on the mat, lifting other opponents up,
that
kind of stuff. So it all plays a big role, and it all transfers across.
Absolutely.
Nothing's for no reason. So
No, absolutely. And you find that when you do that, I mean, one of the simplest tricks you taught me was remember to breathe. You'd always tell me, remember to breathe, you know, breathe. And I remember, like actually, it might have been a week ago. We were in the gym together and I was doing some chest presses, and you said, take a few deep breaths. And then on the third one, you know, use that to lift. And the difference was night and day. It was like, you know, struggling this bar up. But then when you sort of taught me to breathe correctly, it then became so much easier. And it's just little tricks like that are the things that, you know, in the past, going to the gym from other PTs, I'd never considered before. Mm-hmm. And you just said, hey, this time when you do it, just try breathing. And something as simple as that made all the difference. And one thing I found with doing that and getting in the ring with someone, you know, being able to throw someone around, another human being around a bit better, your self-confidence goes through the roof, you know what I mean? And you start to feel, hey, you know what, this is all working. Because like I said earlier, it's not going to happen instantaneously. No. But going to the gym, you have to be patient. You know what I mean? You, and you have to be prepared to go there and say, okay, I'm not seeing that much of a difference, but every little bit helps. And that was something incredibly important to me as well.
And a lot of people should take that lesson with them as well.
Absolutely.
So that kind of segues on to our next one. Mm-hmm. What kind of life lessons made the biggest improvement in your wrestling career, okay, or in your life? Both.
Okay. Both. So, look, they both can be tied together. I believe this is I'm going to say this because there's one thing you said to me that actually stuck with me forever. And I don't know how sincere you were, but I definitely took it seriously. You once said to me, sitting is the new smoking.
Yeah. essentially sitting is like the new cancer. It's the new smoking, really.
Yeah, absolutely. And it was like, so, I'm a professional wrestler who loves watching wrestling. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, New Japan Pro Wrestling is my favorite thing to watch. I absolutely love NJPW. And I can't just sit there and watch it anymore. I have to be stretching. Mm-hmm. I have to, like, you know, between matches, get up and lift some weights.
Of course.
Something like that. And those are, again, they're more little things that you taught me. But some of the biggest lessons you taught me, and this is a huge one, what I'm eating and why I'm eating it. You know, I mean, like
fuel.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, look, we talked about the vending machine, the trips to the vending machine and all that before, but you actually taught me about, and I remember the first time you wrote me a meal plan, I looked at it and went, so, I mean, it was something custom that you custom designed for me, which was fantastic. But I was like, why do I have two lunches here? You know what I mean? And this is how silly I am, people. I literally was like, two lunches? Well, if I'm eating more food, I'm just going to get fatter. And I wasn't actually taking into account the food that Sean had picked out for me, the food that Sean had planned for me. It was all based on getting my body better. And now, like, I mean, I always say to Sean, you know, you've given me the tools and you've sort of, like, I'm not just eating for no reason. You're telling me why I'm eating at these times and why I eat what I eat now. Exactly. And that's hugely important. So
as a very appreciative person, man, you always come up to me and tell me, look, man, look at all this belt, like, size I've lost. This is all you. Yeah. And I have to remind Chris. Yeah. And every client, I'm not the one who did all the hard work. That person is the one who did the hard work. I'm the one who gave them the tools knowledge to take home with them. And if I can condense the 11 years of my knowledge to a client in 1 hour and give them as much in-depth knowledge that they can take home and really change their life, that's what I love to do. And I would do it for free if I could I didn't pay bills. So this is what I love to do. So I'm glad Chris could see that, but it's the tools that I provided for him to change his life.
Absolutely, absolutely. And that goes for, look, honestly, that goes for both life and wrestling. Like, you definitely notice when you're moving around the ring better, but even walking around your house, you know what I mean? Even when you're walking around your house and you feel better, you feel lighter. Like, instead of, look, and you know me, I love my Xbox One. Yep. I love Doom. Oh. I've got Doom tattoos and stuff like that, but it is one of those things where, you know, I mean, it's a difference between sort of having a day off and sitting on the couch and playing Doom all day and saying, hey, you know what? I've got the energy to go out and mow my lawns. Mm. I've got the energy to, go out and just discover a new area, you know, like just go for a
I strongly
a
believe
walk.
That days off, like say if you've got, you train 5 days a week and you want 2 days off in a week, maybe one of those days is a weekend.
Yep.
A day off should not be a sedentary day off. Like, you should not sit on the couch and do nothing. A day off should be
accomplish something.
An active rest day, I call it.
100%.
Like, it could be as simple as you're not actually in the gym.
Yep.
You're actually going out with maybe your partner or a friend, and you just go for a hike. Find the biggest mountain you can find and go climb it.
Well, you know, I mean, that's the thing. Like, I mean, look, again, I'm not going to get too much into this, but I am at least attempting to write a book at the moment, a science fiction novel.
Very keen to read it.
It's something I've always wanted to do, and I've got characters and everything. But I remember writing this, and I would get so into it. And you know, when you're writing something, and you sit there and you're thinking, like, huh, I need to come up with how to get my characters from here to here. I used to just sit there and think about it. Now I'll get up, I'll walk around, I'll lift some weights. The whole time my mind's on my story. But what's become second nature for me is improving myself when I get a chance to improve myself. And you don't even think about it. No. Like, you know, in every room in my house now, I've got like a kettlebell, or I've got
it's
like,
good, man.
Or I've
taught you well.
Yeah, exactly. Or I've got just something that I can lift. Like you were at my house the other week and I had a broom handle just sitting against the wall, and
taught you and what to do with that.
Exactly, it was purely like I don't have a broken broom. I'm just using that so I can stand there and twist
and do torso twists.
Exactly, like, you know, it's fantastic, and I love those little things.
Exactly,
you know?
I wish there's one big take home message I wish I could tell to a lot of listeners that might be in the same age bracket as Chris, in their mid 30s or even 40s, 50s. Like, fitness is a lifelong thing.
Absolutely.
If you don't use it, you will lose it. So if you don't use the strength or the muscle that you've got, you will lose it. And it, trust me, it takes years to build it back. So it's a lifelong thing. It's not something that you can just pick up at like 60 and go, oh, look, I'm going to be running marathons. You can, but it's going to be a lot harder. But it's a lot easier just to maintain. So what are some advice you would give to others?
Okay. So every single time you think to yourself, I can't do this, you're wrong.
Well, the person that's what Confucius always said. The person who says I can and the person who says I can't are both usually right.
And you know what? It's there is a lot of truth to that. But being like, look, Sean, we've spoken about this before. I really did believe that I was beyond helping. I really did believe I'm never going to be able to do this. You know, I'm never going to be able to get back in shape. And it really was one of those things where, look, from you know, what you did for me, you actually came to the last wrestling show of the year that I did. You know, and I was, for the first time in forever, with your help, I was proud to walk out there without the shirt, you know, a lot of fake tan, but without the shirt and going there in front of what we had, like there were like 20,
probably at least 15 our workmates.
Yeah, absolutely.
And 20 full supporters of that know you, that came to watch.
Absolutely.
You.
Absolutely. And in front of, and let's, like, you know, I mean, you look at the wrestling promotion itself, there were over 150 people there, and it was one of those things where for the first time I really felt confident to walk out there and look like a professional wrestler, and it's amazing. And this comes from a place where I was very, very much like, I won't accomplish this, I can't accomplish this. And you know, the advice that I would give to people is, if you set your mind to something, you can accomplish it. Stay positive about these things too. Mm. Like, you know, look, let's be honest.
Persistence.
Absolutely.
Just persistence.
Absolutely. And look, whether it's gym or not.
And perspiration, by the way.
Yeah.
Which is a lot of sweat.
That is very, very true. But whether, you know, for whatever reason, the world is full of negativity. You know, there is a lot of negativity.
Especially on social media.
Absolutely. And one thing I found is, don't let it get you down. You know, I mean, you know, a positive mind is one of the best things that you can have. I mean, I'm not going to lie about anything
just,
here.
Just, you know, as, like, you train your body, yeah, I also believe that you should train your mind. Well,
Sean, like, I mean, let's look, I'm going to mention this here. I'd confided in you about being diagnosed with depression and things like that. And there were some times where, you know, you would talk to me and you were concerned about me where I was really down.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And it was one of the things where you were one of the only people I felt I could open up to. You were one of the only people I could sort of talk to. And, you know, it is one of those things where, since that match, since being able to watch that match back, being able to look at myself, and since being able to have a purpose, you know, like, the gym can be a purpose, you know what I mean? I mean, you're going there to improve yourself. I found that what came along with that was a better mental state as well, because, you know, I mean, look, we've all been there. We've all just spent a day sitting on the couch,
being very low and not in the right headspace.
Exactly. Yeah. There's no way that that's going to bring you joy. You know what I mean? And it is one of the things where, as my body got better, the more we trained, the more I got into it, and the more I enjoyed it, I found that my mental state is better. I mean, the show that you came to was on December 15th. I have not been miserable once since then, because the hard work paid off, We continue going to the gym. We continue going there, and it's fun now. You know, it's a lot of fun. It's not a chore, and we look forward to it every week. I look forward to it every single week.
I remember months ago, and I'll just briefly touch on this if you don't
mind. Please.
When Chris was, he was in a bit of a low point of his life, and he came to me. We're at work, and we talked, and I said, "Look, man, but I want you to ask yourself, what do you have to be appreciative and thankful for?" Mm. And at that point, mm-hmm. You couldn't think of many things because you were so caught up in the worst part of your life. When you're in that cloudy area, it's very hard to pull yourself out. But then again, I asked the same question. I don't know if you remember, but I asked the same question after the match.
I remember that exactly.
Everyone had congratulated you. Later on, I pulled you aside and I said, "Hey, man," and you were on cloud nine, man. You had a grin from ear to ear.
Yep.
And I asked you the same question. I said, "Look, man." Well, I more stated it to you. I said, "Look, man, I want you to see this, that all the people that turned out to see you, all of the support and where you're at right now, this is what you have to be appreciative of. And look at the perspective of this."
Yeah.
Now, isn't this to be something that you can see that your whole life is
well, it's valuable.
Exactly.
And that's the thing. I never had a lot of self-value. And My story, I can point to myself and say, your help and, you know, you taking me to the gym and you keeping me accountable played a big role in why after that match, I was able to stand up in front of, 20 people from my life and I even shed a tear and say, this is the greatest night of my life because everyone was there supporting me and I was confident. Now, if I hadn't have come to you, if I hadn't have gone in the gym, I would have been too ashamed to invite my friends, but I was proud of myself. I was proud of the way I looked. And with all my friends supporting me, I was able to have one of the best moments of my life. You even said to me afterwards, it's so nice. You said to me, it was so nice to see me being able to smile and be proud of myself. And that was huge for me.
I haven't seen you low or down at all.
I've got too much to live for at the moment.
Exactly. Well, thanks for listening, guys. I hope that from this podcast, you've learned a few things about making a bit of a comeback yourself. I hope that everyone can make a bit of a comeback. This is the start of a new year. We're at the at the end of the first week of January. So look at this as if you are feeling like you can relate to Chris. You're in the 30s, 40s, 50s, and you're feeling like, look, it's too hard to turn my life around now, and I'm already in a low part. And look, to build momentum, you're going to have to put in the hard work initially.
Oh, yeah.
But sometimes the hardest part is just stepping foot in the gym. If you can step foot in the gym first and then work your way from that, that's the hardest part done. So thanks for listening, guys. This has been Sean from Hustle Harder Coaching. You can follow up me at www.hustleharder.coaching.com.au. Instagram is swole_Sean. And follow my friend Chris the Law Taylor, wrestler.
Yes.
Where will they follow you at?
Well, follow me on Facebook, which is probably the best way to. I do have a page. It is in character, so I try to make it as entertaining as possible. It's just Revenant Chris Law, that's K-R-I-S Law, so Revenant Chris Law on Facebook. And also, if you get a chance, check out Adrenaline Professional Wrestling, APW. They have a show once a month in Cranbourne, and it's my new home. It's a wonderful place. It's a lot of fun.
Awesome. And sometimes that's what we need, just a good environment to help motivate us and get us back on our feet. I'd also like to thank our sponsors, AAA Supplements, for the biggest and the best in the supplement business, for keeping us fueled. Thanks, guys, and have a good night.